If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Connell McShane anchors the midday news show at News Nation. You can see him on Comcast and The Dish and DirecTV. He's on the air at 2 o'clock our time. Connell, thanks for joining us this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, John. That sponsor was Gilkey. Remember, there was a pretty good baseball player in the 90s, pretty good hitter, Bernard Gilkey. Remember Bernard Gilkey or no?
Yeah. Yeah, he had great windows and doors and quit baseball to go into the window business here in Chicago. Little known fact. Hey, thank you for sending your list to us of your 10 summer songs.
No problem. You like them or I get very self-conscious?
Everybody gets that way. We'll feature them at the end of this conversation, so we won't go too long today. So that we can play what 10 summer songs, what summer feels like to Connell McShane. This is a guy that likes, in the same list, the Beastie Boys and Michael Bublé. Go figure.
We
now know you better, and I'm not sure that's a good thing.
No.
So, talk to me about the $40 trillion debt. How important is that? What mental box should we be putting that in?
I don't know, to be honest. It almost reminds me like when the stock market hits a big number, like, oh, the Dow, remember when it was 10,000 or now more recently 50,000. Does that matter more than 53,220? I mean, I guess round numbers sometimes can be reminders. I mean, we'd have to be under a rock to not know we had a debt problem in this country. So hitting $40 trillion, does it finally wake us up? I don't know. I mean, the action in the bond market this week should be a wake-up call to some people in that it's going to cost us more to finance that debt if the market drives the interest rates up. So that's been a big story this week. How it kind of plays out over the long term, we'll see. Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, claims we can grow our way out of it. But, you know, you'd also have to, I would think, maybe cut down on our spending ways a little bit and find a way to grow and cut spending at the same time, which is not that easy to do.
Right. Debt is in itself not a bad thing, especially if you can get it at a good rate. A 3% mortgage is good, especially if you can earn more money in the market than the mortgage is costing you. So debt isn't in and of itself a terrible thing, right?
Bingo. I mean, I say it all the time. In my personal life, actually, maybe it's because my wife's kind of allergic to debt, especially quote-unquote bad debt, like credit card debt, where you pay a lot of higher rates. I try to avoid it as much as possible, but I think you're getting into a very simple but sophisticated way of looking at it, if that makes sense. In other words, if you're paying a low rate, but you can make more money at the other rate. I mean, in many ways, I sold my house, just a quick personal story, last year for two reasons. We wanted to move into the city and be close to work. We wanted to live in an urban environment. But when we sold it, we decided to rent. And one of the reasons we decided to rent is that we thought we could probably make as much or more money, especially over the long term, in the financial markets if we added to what we had already investing in stocks and other things than we were making in real estate. Even though the house had gone up in value, I think you can make more in the market. So you kind of have conversations like that, which is just one return is higher than the other. And yeah, you can put debt to good use. I mean, people, that's how the world works on a day-to-day basis. That's how most companies pay their workers, for example. They don't have the cash sitting around. They borrow it, at very short term rates or durations, and they pay it back. And that's really what led to the whole thing freezing up in 2008 when that system suddenly didn't work.
4% sounds attractive as long as you're not paying 4% on $40 trillion. I mean, at some point, the number becomes unmanageable. I just wonder what my personal income taxes would be or how good my schools would be if I wasn't paying so much money to service the debt. Just to service the interest on the debt.
One of the problems is we probably should do a better job of taking care of this when things are good. I mean, we did that in the 90s when the internet first came around. The market was going crazy and there was so much tax revenue coming in. I mean, President Clinton actually left his second term, remember, with the surplus. Yeah. So we put ourselves in a better fiscal situation there. And then, obviously, when President Bush came in post 9/11, a couple of wars, the financial crisis of 08 leading into the Obama two terms, and President Trump has added to it, quite frankly. So did President Biden, by the way. But President Trump has not done anything to reduce it. In fact, over his two terms, I think we looked at it yesterday, he's up to about $11 trillion added to the this $40 trillion in debt. So when things are better economically, when we're not in a crisis, we probably should do a better job of managing these finances so that when we are and we need to spend or the government thinks it needs to stimulate the economy, which is a whole different argument, then we have the money and the wherewithal and the resources to do it.
Did you talk about Natalie Harp this week?
Not really. I think maybe, let me see, I do 3 hours a day. I think we mentioned it once or twice in a segment. I might have brought it up to a political panel. It's interesting. I'm kind of two minds on this story. So the president's assistant has become this kind of lightning rod politically, largely because John Ossoff, running for Senate or re-election in Georgia, brought her up in a speech. They call her the human printer, I guess, because she walks around with a printer and prints out stuff for the president all the time. There's, I guess, more to it than that, but I think what is sort of interesting, two things. Number one, she's one of the people, if you read the regime change book, Maggie Haberman and Jonathan Swan, that's in the room all the time. So there's like five or six people that are in the room all the time with the president. Natalie Harp apparently is one of them. And then, you know, the other thing is the White House reaction to the story, sort of, to me at least, became the story in many ways. They were so, instead of just, it's tough for this White House sometimes to let anything go. And when I say this White House, I mean the president, but also his communications director and other people that work for him. So they kind of kept the story going. It's the summer. Is it important? I mean, I guess you could argue there's some level of importance, but probably more distraction than anything else. And the White House got distracted by it.
Yeah, it is. Salacious isn't the right word because there's no suggestion of impropriety, but she has such unfettered access to the president. It does seem to rankle other members of the staff. She may well be the author of some of those posts, or at least is the one that is posting them, including the one that depicted the Obamas as apes. So I'm hearing from people saying we need to know more about this person or her proximity to the president, especially in light of two letters that have surfaced this week, which show an almost weird allegiance to the president. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think you probably take out almost on that. Yeah, they are weird. I mean, ended with like you're all that matters to me. And so, I mean, but again, does it matter to us? I'm not sure. I think the access issue is real. For a while, apparently, she didn't have a security clearance. I believe she went through the process and got it now. But people like her. I think the other one that gets mentioned a lot, and I don't have enough like inside reporting on this, but just talking to other people who are closer to reporting on the day to day. Kind of back and forth in the White House. That guy, Bill Pulte, is kind of similar and, you know, feeding stuff to the president. And when people like that are in the inner circle, you get worried. But listen, this is a president, for the fact that he does keep a small circle of people, and Harp apparently is one of them that makes the quote-unquote real decisions, he also communicates with just about anyone. You know, there are radio hosts, for example, some of whom I know personally, who text the president. He reads the text and sometimes says what's in those texts out loud at a speech. You know, these things do happen with this president. But so I guess some of the questions are legit with Natalie Harp. But again, I go back. We didn't spend a lot of time on it this week.
We won't spend any more here.